entire thing.
The thought is to increase that if the market will bear.
Correct.
Which would make more money for the park district as well as for the school district, as well as more money in the pot for the field, correct?
Exactly.
Could it also go?
Please put your,
Could it also be reduced if the market value bears lower than 100?
In theory, it could. It could, but certainly if it's getting reduced, then that would mean potential loss in revenue both for the park district and for us. So they're not going to want to take a loss on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not thinking that will happen.
Mm-hmm. And they had surveyed similar situations, and that's what they were finding when they gave us that initial number.
Yeah, that's correct. They had surveyed 7 different municipalities, and they found that the range of rates, depending on the area, was anywhere from the low end, $75 an hour, and at the high end, $140 an hour. So,
mm-hmm.
That's how the $100 was set, was to try to find the median of that range.
Very good. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay. Ms. Ratchford, will you take the roll, please?
Mrs. Linkman.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairfree?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you for coming in this morning, Dr. Chapman. Okay, now we are on to our discussion item, which is interviewing the candidates to fill the vacancy of the school board of Mr. Gaffney's position. I explained the process going forward, but today we have a list of just 6 questions. We're going to go through the line, as I had mentioned, and one board member will ask a question and just make sure, hopefully we don't have to repeat it every time, but they're there to repeat the question if you need it. This meeting is being recorded. I don't know if anybody had talked to you about the microphones yet. No?
Yes, and actually I've had the opportunity to speak to the candidates.
You have.
How that works, and it's their directionals, and they're ready. I think they're good.
Great. So please remember to put the mic on. It's being recorded because it's an area of interest. We don't usually record special meetings, but this is an area of interest, of course, for the public. And we ask you to just relax and enjoy the process, as we will. So I will begin today's questions. Board members, is that all fine with you? Does anybody have any question on that? Okay, good. The first question will start with Mr. Rothker, correct?
Yes,
I can't. There you go. Why do you want to be a board member?
I've been involved in
I've been involved working in the schools for the past 20 years as a lunch dad, PTA president, also a parent of 5, 2 adult daughters in North Carolina who were both attorneys that went through the elementary U46. I've also been a school officer, worked in the schools on safety committees, worked 6 years in North Carolina for the Wake County Public Schools, 19 of those months as the interim director. I was actually on the National Safe School Committee through the Deputy Undersecretary of Education. And I've just been involved in the schools, again, as a volunteer here at Pearson Creek. I have 2 there now, kindergartner and a 3rd grader, as well as 1 entering North High School. So I am currently retired, just retired, 32 years law enforcement. So ready to move on and do something, and this is kind of natural, the next type of step for me to be involved in the schools and stay involved.
Do you want to be a board member?
I would like to be a board member because I care about the education my kids receive. I have 4 kids in the district, 1 starting kindergarten. And so next year I have 3 in the district, and I have 1 still at home. I care about the decisions that are made that are affecting all of the kids in the district. I think that St. Charles is the kind of community where people move to because of the schools, and I think that the board is accountable for keeping our district great and making this a marketable town for everybody who wants to live here. In terms of background, I don't know if you have a separate, we have a separate question about background. We have something coming up like that.
Why do you want to be a board member?
Okay, I think I will do that answer.
Mr. Mullally, why do you want to be a board member?
I'd like to be a board member because I'd say 25, 27 years ago, I lived in South Elgin and I was ready to move. And as I kind of reviewed the schools that would be available to my kids, certainly the D-303 school district was top of the list. And as far as market value for homes, so I became interested in why it was, and through that process got involved with many different projects at the different schools. But the reality is I'd like to be part, moving forward, to keeping the D-303 school district as one that is kind of nationally recognized as a place that you would like to raise your kids and provide an education to them. So that's my reason, is I'd just like to join the team.
Thank you. Mr. Noling?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Scott Noling. I think the reason why is obviously I've had experience sitting in your chair, and I know what it's like. And I really enjoyed my experience doing it. I think that the responsibility for sitting in the chair is pretty significant. You hire one person, and that's Mr. Pearson, to kind of execute board policy. And so I think, the twofold nature of it is, are we executing the policies that really the community filters through us? And kind of say, does this reflect what we want out of the educational experience that our kids get? And so I like that process. I liked, kind of listening to the community and trying to distill that down into policy that we could implement at the board level. I also felt that, in the previous administration or superintendent, it was oftentimes where we really gave responsibility to the superintendent to execute the human resources mission, but at the same time, he used the board as kind of a sounding board to say, "Hey, are we headed in the right direction here?" And I thought that was a lot of responsibility as well. So, anyway, I like the problem solving. I liked the experience that I have. I think it's an incredibly important role, and I'd hope to have the opportunity to do it again.
Thank you, Mr. Montel. Why do you want to be a board member?
Thank you again for this opportunity. I really, I'm going to kind of speak from the heart here. I don't really have any agenda here. One of the commitments I made, I recently retired. I feel fortunate to be in that position, but one of the commitments I made to myself was to make sure that I serve my community. And St. Charles is a community that my family has lived my entire life. And so I couldn't think of a better opportunity. I also think that education plays a really important role in making sure that our community is a place that's attractive for people to move and to live and to play. And I think this is a great opportunity for me to be a part of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Capps? I believe in our school system here in St. Charles, and I think we have an excellent board, and I want to be a part of that. I think I've been a private servant. I'd like to think that, and I want to be a more public servant. I think it's important to be visionary in what you do as a board and not responsive, and I think this board has done that, and I just want to be part of the story. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll start with other board members. Maybe Mr. Manheim.
So we should go down the road then. We'll start with Laura then, this way, or which way?
However you choose to do it.
Right. Okay. What specific skills would you bring to the board?
I would begin by saying I think all of you in front of me know this, but I've been attending board meetings on a very regular and consistent basis since 2015, so I feel like I have a very strong understanding of what the board has faced. I have made it a point not just to sit at the meetings and listen, but to send emails and speak during citizen comments, offering suggestions, offering positive feedback when I think something is going great. I recognize the challenges that this board and the previous board has faced. Aside from that, I've been home with my kids for, since I do remember, 7 years now, but during that time, I have been very involved in our community. I've been involved at Lincoln for the past 3 years. I'm on my PTO. I am part of the Youth Commission in St. Charles and also work on a pastoral council at St. Patrick Parish. So all of those experiences have helped me work with other people. You're always working with people of different backgrounds, and I think what's important in the commonality in all of those things is that you have to be respectful of other people's opinions, and you need to be a good listener. I think I wrote something down, a quote that I brought with me, and maybe it sums up just my philosophy, that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So I think that kind of underlies everything in terms of just qualifications, educational background. I do have a master's degree in elementary education and also one in clinical psychology. Both I think are relevant to this field, school board and human interactions and just understanding education.
Thank you. We're gonna go this way.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. I think the primary skill that I can bring to the board, and maybe one of the things I'm most proud of, is being a parent. That I have students that have gone through the school district. Strangely enough, that number is about 50 kids that I've put through St. Charles, St. Charles East, and North High School. Had several kids go through at Wasco. So I think, you know, the skills that I have are, I think, being a parent and being interested in what happens in this community and how it impacts my kids. I also, you know, as a business owner, have skills in dealing with finances, in dealing with employees, and doing those day-to-day activities of just managing a company. I think beyond that, you know, the skills, and I was thinking as I was driving here this morning that this question could come up. And I think one of the skills that I have was taught to me by a high school social studies teacher taught me that there's always two sides to every story. For those of you that are old enough to recognize the names, during our classes, she would bring in people from the John Birch Society that essentially claimed that everyone in government was a communist. And he also brought in people from the SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, that basically said everybody in government is corrupt. So, but it really taught me that in listening to these people that there's always two sides to the story, and maybe as many people say, three sides, you know, his, hers, and the truth. So I think I have those kind of skills that be able to listen and evaluate people's issues and be able to make a judgment from that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Again, I guess I kind of go back to my experience on the board, and as I think through what skills were called on during my time there, as I transitioned onto the board, we had a difficult transition from superintendent to superintendent. And there was concern about, you know, things that, you know, was the board being transparent, and, you know, what had happened there. And I think that, you know, going through that and demonstrating an openness to all opinions and making sure that people felt like they had their voice heard was really an important skill. I think also getting to consensus, you know, within the board is important, and I think I was helpful in that process. I served with Mrs. Huell and Mrs. Linkemer, disagreed with both of them, but liked them a great deal, and would expect to have that same experience going forward with each of you, that we can disagree agreeably. And so I think that's important. I think that, you know, as a board member, I felt like I really wanted to, and this is weird, but step away and give the next board an opportunity to breathe without being, you know, sort of second guessing from the cheap seats. So what that has lent is I have an appreciation for what you've gone through over the last couple of years. You've had some difficult decisions. But at the same time, I approach that with a relatively clean slate and not a vested agenda in righting any perceived wrongs. Not that they were committed. I'm just saying I don't have an agenda around what's gone on recently. I'll limit it there. So, thank you.
So I wanted to, I guess I look at this question and I think about just some of the fundamental characteristics that are important for an effective board member would be. And I feel fortunate. I think my skills, those of sound judgment, the ability to be even-tempered, the ability to understand the other person's opinion and respect that. I think in order to be effective, you have to be a good team member, and you have to be able to work collaboratively. I'm fortunate to have worked in several environments where team orientation was critical to the company's success, kind of approaching it in a selfless orientation, where the individual, you couldn't have individual agendas. We really had to work together as a team in order to be effective and meet our goals and objectives. And I think that prepares me well for this kind of a situation. I also have a genuine interest in education. I come from a long family history and lineage of educators. So that will lend itself nicely along with those personal characteristics.
Thank you.
I'm currently, my name is Kelly Capps, I'm currently a doctoral student in higher education leadership. So some of the skills I think I'll bring to the table are good listening, good management, good understanding. I know how difficult, when I was assistant dean at Purdue, I enforced the conduct code, and I know how important it is to make good decisions in a tough environment, trying to balance the needs of the community. So I think I would try to balance the needs of those that we're trying to represent our constituents while listening to the people around the table. And you're all here because you're incredible people. And I think that if you have an opinion, it should be respected. I have an eclectic style in my leadership. I like servant leadership. And that leads itself to good public service. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Rathaker. I think my biggest skill would be my experience.
John Rathaker. My biggest skill would probably be my experience in law enforcement, and not just that, but the experience of being able to communicate with the public, and as well as principals, staff, parents. I've done that throughout my whole career as part of it when I was director of security for Wake County Public Schools in Raleigh. I did a lot of that. I had to deal with all the parents and talk to them on certain issues. Also, my school safety background. I wrote the school safety crisis intervention policy for District 54 when I was in Schaumburg and I was a school officer. I have been involved here in 303 as the officer that taught Too Good for Drugs at Coron. I was part of the district safety committee here with Assistant Superintendent Baird that we met once a year. We formulated the policy for here also, the crisis intervention policy. And St. Charles Schools is actually one of the, probably I would say, forefront in school safety. They listen to law enforcement's opinion. They put those things into practice. He even asked us what we could do better, and I suggested to let us have access to the schools. By the way, he came up with a code for us to get in at any school building, and this is important if something was to happen and four towns show up, everybody can get in right away without having to knock on the door, hit the buzzer. Very receptive. I think within a week he had the code out to us. So I've had a lot of experience dealing with school administrators, a lot of background and training in school safety. So I think I would bring just a new approach or maybe a new amount of experience to the board, as well as that experience in school safety, being I've been a parent and volunteer at Pearson Creek now, as well as Thompson. So, and I also have, will have the time to get involved, committee meetings, and be involved that way. So I would say my biggest skill would be experience and my knowledge in the school safety aspect.
Thank you.
So we'll start with Mr. Mullally. Please give specific examples of your ability to work on a team. And if anyone needs me to repeat the question down the line, just let me know. Thank you.
I think the areas that I would go to is outside of the school district. I am a business owner. I started with one employee. I now have two separate locations and 150 employees. So I've been able to understand and grow and meet the challenges of a business. But I also think in my involvement and being able to work with others, for the, I'll go back, I don't know, it was 5 or 6 years that worked with Dr. Pearson and a team from both East and North as we kind of dissolved all of these little individual booster clubs and reorganized under one central booster club. That was, you know, a challenge between the two schools, but, you know, we came together and developed a set of bylaws that we now operate under. I didn't walk away from it at that point. I've been the booster president at St. Charles North High School for the past 9 years, been able to, you know, work with parents that are sometimes a challenge, I'm sure as many of you know. I've done that, and I think, and finally, in working together, I've also been, for the last 8 years, organizing the post-prom at St. Charles North, and with that have brought in a group of parents, but it was my goal at the same time was to involve students in the activity that really hadn't happened in the past. So I thought for an event like this, I really wanted to integrate it with the school, have the students involved in the planning. Being able to organize that, working together on a team with not just adults but with teenagers, that event has evolved from 300 kids participating the year I took it over, and I think this past year we were just under 700. So in addition to that, we've also moved the event out of the school and over to Christ Community Church. So it's been an opportunity to work with other members of the public. And so I think, you know, that in a nutshell, and I'm sure my 2 minutes is almost up or up, I'll pass the mic.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Milling?
So I'm a sales manager with a division of Johnson & Johnson, and in that role I have 12 people that report to me, and it's my responsibility to keep those folks engaged every day. You know, I'm not with them getting them out of bed in the morning to go make a sale. You know, I need to make sure that they're engaged and excited about what they do. And I think that I'm also, you know, on a team of managers where we're trying to collectively work together to achieve, you know, a regional goal. And those experiences kind of inform, you know, where I come from. You know, every day I'm trying to elevate the engagement and the productivity and the skills of that team. And as I think about that in terms of board service, you know, I think you have to come with, hey, I'm here for the children principally. But I'm also, you know, I have to have an appreciation for every stakeholder within the community. And we have to listen to all of those folks. And I think those two pieces, you know, really, really help you kind of center yourself in, I'm here of service, and I'm engaged, I'm going to do the work. And I think that there's a respect that's associated with that. If, you know, if you show up not only to the regular board meeting, but to learning and teaching and policy and all those other meetings that you know that you come to, you know, you earn that respect and you are informed by being there. And I think that the other board members recognize that. And I would say the final thing is you spend that much time with the board members, kind of have to know that, you know, this is Mrs. Heal's skill. This is Mr. Mannheim's skill, and an appreciation and a humility that you don't know it all, and that there are people that you might want to lean on the board who are better informed than you are. So I think I bring that.
Although not having been in the public sector for my career of 36 years, the last 20 years I've been in an environment that's very dynamic. It's a startup environment, similar to Scott's, but in the medical device arena. And you kind of operate in with really skeletal resources. And I was fortunate enough to be recruited along with a team in each one of these organizations that was brought together to commercialize a concept or a paradigm shift in the way something was going to be implemented in medicine. And I was fortunate enough to be a part of the President's Advisory Council in the first company I worked for, which we would directly act as liaisons with the top executive board to be able to communicate needs and requirements. And in my last two capacities, also a part of the executive team as an executive territory manager that reported directly to the executive board and in certain cases the board members on what our concerns, our objectives were, and how to achieve those objectives. And I feel like being elected to those positions hopefully is a vote of confidence in my ability to work in a team environment, which I think the school board it's absolutely critical to work in a collaborative capacity. Thank you.
I've been president at Wild Rose Elementary, and that really gave me a taste for St. Charles School District and the system. And I think the skills I bring to the table, that was the question, right? The specific examples of leadership.
Yeah, the question is, please give specific examples of your ability to work on a team.
Yeah. I think I'm boots on the ground. You know, I'm president of the St. Charles Education Foundation. We raise money for teachers and give them grants and grants for students, and we have a big gala every year, and it doesn't just happen. You have to be in there and working hard as a part of a team to get that to occur. I supervise people. I've been in education for 28 years at a higher education level, and I've supervised people and done team builders and retreats. And I think it's important to know everybody brings something to the table. I organized the fifth grade picnic, which was a challenge, but everybody wanted to contribute something, and it was important to let them all have a part in that picnic. It went off without a hitch, except my son broke his toe. So I was the only one that had a little injury, and it was thankfully in my camp. I've been a lunch lady because I wanted to stay close to the pulse of the students, and being a part of a team as a lunch lady was amazing because there can be drama on that team, and it was just amazing to find the balance. And people came to me for questions about how should I handle this with this person because they're like not working well with me. So I think that somewhere along my life path, I've been someone people could turn to for advice or help. Thank you.
I think the biggest part of working a team, and that I have done, there's a couple of them, but the first one is being part of a family with my wife and three kids. Kindergartner, third grader, and incoming freshman is a whole team exercise in itself. Second of all is probably my the teamwork every day. When I would go to work as a police officer, you have to be a team. We'd have roll call, go over things going on in town. If you're not part of that team, you know, you could be hurt or killed. That's probably the biggest thing is the training we've done. Training changes every day, even how they go and do the training for the schools now. We actually train with the fire department. We recently had a big training about a year ago at Quine Elementary, where we go in with the fire department, the active shooter training, the fire department comes in with us. And if you're not part of that team, and it's not just the fire department from South Allison, we trained with the West Chicago guys, the Fox River Fire guys, and that's kind of been the biggest thing is with teamwork is for years, you know, you were the South Allison police, or when I was in Schaumburg, it's Hoffman, the guys just didn't work together as a team. And there's been a lot of work with that, and now it is a big team. Everybody trains the same way, does the same curriculum, so that if you do go to an incident, you're with the fire department, they have the same information, everybody's doing the same thing. If we show up and Campton Hills comes to help, or St. Charles Police, or I've been called to St. Charles North before while I was working at South Elgin. We all know what we're doing, we all know how to get in, and we all train the same way. So I guess my experience in that would probably be the biggest thing for my ability to work on a team.
I think in the last question I identified some of the teams that I'm currently on, and I can go into greater detail. So with the St. Charles Youth Commission, we are responsible for approving and directing funding to youth in our community. So part of that is attending meetings, but also I'm part of a subcommittee that works on outreach. So we identify new incentives to bring to our community and then take that information back to the rest of the board for their approval and feedback. Always looking at everything from a whole group standpoint is important. With PTO, I think that's a great group to have been involved with in terms of the responsibilities we have. It's working with all different kinds of people and doing all different kinds of things. Some of the stuff I jotted down with community building, that's a huge part of it. We find ways to celebrate our school community. We find ways to bring our families together. We find ways to honor our staff. And it's working with all of the different people involved. We created volunteers. We also plan events, fundraise. I don't do that by myself, obviously. That takes a whole team to do. St. Pat's, the Pastoral Council, it's kind of an interesting role. When I interviewed for that, it was hard to understand because it's more abstract. What they do is really try to dig much deeper, and you're looking at the vision of the group, what is our parish vision, and how are we reaching it. So I think that that's always an important part of group work also, is what is your goal and how are you accomplishing that? We look at how do the ministries align with what we're doing. So I guess that would be important with school board also to look at how our initiatives are relating to the vision and the greater goal. And again, in that group, we are always seeking feedback. We don't make decisions without looking at how it will affect the whole community. I think that's important in anything. A few that I won't go into detail with, but I didn't mention, is I've been involved in the Cub Scout leadership team. I've been a softball coach. I participated in Campton Hills Citizens Police Academy, and all were great experiences and allowed me to work with other people and just learn more about our community and give back.
Thank you, everyone, for your responses. If you wouldn't mind, Madam President, could we take a short restroom break?
Absolutely.
Is that all right? Is the board all right with that?
Yes.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry to impose. I have a personal situation, as we know. Thank you. Okay, sorry.
Thank you, everyone, for taking this little break. We'll continue. And the next question will be Mrs. Fairgreave. Excuse me.
Okay. The question is, what do you see as the role of a board member? And we'll start with you, Mr. Nolan.
Boy, I feel like I just kind of answered that last time, but I guess I'll pick up where I left off. I do think that it was surprising to me to think about how much I had to learn when I got onto the board, you know, and that did not end. It didn't slow down. You constantly have different issues that you're faced with that you haven't been faced with before in your day-to-day operation, and you know, you kind of have to think about that. And again, that's what I kind of like about the role, is the opportunity to think through those problems, but you're exposed to new things. And so, you know, again, having a humility to be able to ask questions and dig a little bit, I think that that's an important piece of the board as well, is you know, not necessarily inspecting, you know, the work that staff is doing, but kind of trying to discern if the policies and where the board wants to go is kind of being operationalized. And I think you can do that in a tactful way, but I think in questioning, you know, what's going on within the district is an important piece. I also think that one of the things that surprised me too was how important, and this is going to sound weird, but closed session was in terms of student expulsions. You know, I think just, it's not, you know, the biggest part of the board member's job, but boy, do you have to balance the needs of, you know, the student and that family who's clearly most times in crisis with the greater good and the safety of the students in the community. And I think having an appreciation, and I'm proud of some of the solutions that as a board we came up with in terms of, you know, rather than, you know, expel somebody, to think creatively what's the root cause of this crisis, and is there any way that our intervention can help? Again, it's not our job, but I'm proud of some of the creative solutions we came up with. But again, I think just overall, it would be ask questions, be humble, understand when other people have skills that you don't have, lean on them, and you know, kind of being not only for and being it for the entire stakeholders within the community. I'm probably at 2 minutes. I apologize.
So I would say, I'm going to keep it at a high level here. I think the board, the responsibility of the board is really to develop kind of the vision, right? The vision and the goals for the district, and then holding themselves accountable to those goals. And I also think a real simplistic, you guys are the voice of the community as it relates to education. And I think it's one of the most critical roles of being a board member, and the ability, I think you have to work in a team and collaborative capacity, because an individual can't, it's really a team, and that's what I see as our responsibilities.
I think the role of a board member is to be able to maintain confidentiality, have a high standard of ethics, be in touch with the community. We represent the community and our schools and our students and our parents, and I think it's important to be in touch with what their needs are and what the larger picture is for the school district. I think it's important to be part of a team, be good under pressure and in a crisis, because those things come your way, be level-headed, and just overall be willing to sacrifice time in order to be at all the events that occur, and try to go to school events and try to make all the board meetings and just be committed. Thank you.
One of the biggest responsibilities is being a team member, and also being able to make decisions that might be best for the district and the parents and the kids in the long run, but might not be the popular choice at that time. example is the Haynes Middle School and Thompson Middle School. My son was in sixth grade at Haynes in seventh grade. They had the big change. A lot of kids weren't happy, and you had two schools blending into each other. And I know that the decisions had to be made for those things to happen at the board level. But it turned out to be the staff were great. I heard just all kinds of things from parents and students, my son's friends. And it took a good 6 months for them to mesh. But again, that had to be a tough decision, knowing probably some of the fallout with the parents. But part of the board, you have to be able to make that choice, because that choice is going to be a good choice for the long run of the school system, for everybody involved. So I think that's probably the biggest responsibility of board member, is to be able to make the tough choices and not necessarily the popular.
In preparation for the questions today, I wrote something down, and I think that I will read it as long as that's okay with you guys, because it kind of sums up my answer to the question. What I realized throughout this whole process of attending board meetings is that almost every decision the Board of Education makes affects my family, all of our children, and the whole entire community, from South Elgin to St. Charles to West Chicago. We are all part of the same D303 family, regardless of role, be it teacher, student, parent, or resident. Without school-aged children, we all choose to be here. We all benefit from the promise of having great schools, and we want to believe our individual needs are being taken into consideration. This is why board members matter. There will always be difficult decisions and differing opinions, but when all is said and done, will our stakeholders feel like their individual concerns were validated? Ron Kaufman said, "Greatness is not how you feel, it's how you make others feel." The role of a school board member is not just making a decision, it's holding yourself accountable for the impact this has on students, families, staff members, and the community at large. What matters is how we go about discussing the ideas, what evidence we base our decisions on, how much respect we are giving to the people who are affected, and what solutions are identified to remedy the problems we are facing. In the end, it's not about saving schools or even just saving money. It's about making people feel good about their decision to live in our community. It's about all of us coming together, citizens feeling comfortable emailing board members, attending or taking time to speak at a meeting and offering up their feedback, and they can trust that it is being considered. It's choosing to learn enough to make educated and factual decisions and being an advocate and expert on the things that are important, not just to your own children and family, but to everyone in our community. In order for a school board member to effectively represent the students and community members, everyone needs to have a voice in the process. If I can convey my messages in a way that leaves others feeling heard, respected, and cared about, I would say my role on the board has been a successful one.
Well, going last is not always fun. I guess all the good answers have been taken, but seriously, I think the primary role of the board or being a board member is, you know, the ability to make difficult decisions, you know, and this morning you'll have a very difficult decision to make. I'm humbled as I sit at this table with five other candidates for the position, and it's not going to be an easy decision, but I think what I see as my role is being able to listen, be able to learn, be able to gather information, and then make that decision along with other board members. So, I think in short, you know, my role is going to be there to really disseminate information, and from that information, formulate an opinion and express that opinion in my vote. That's it.
Thank you all for your responses to the question.
Next, Mr. McNally, would you read, go through the next question? Yes, five.
Question five, and I believe we are starting with Mr. Montel. Please describe your previous community experiences.
I would have to admit that my community experiences to date have been somewhat minimal. I have been, in my career of the last 36 years, I have been headlong in those D303 different jobs, and one of the reasons why I'm here today is to, as I mentioned earlier, probably the first question was finally I have a chance and a commitment to give back and to contribute to my community. And it's a community that I've lived in my whole life, virtually. My family has been here. And so this is the first step in hopefully a flourishing future in public servants.
I have been the PTO president at Wild Rose Elementary, and I chaired the fundraising committee for Write-A-Check, which is kind of a sole appointment. You feel kind of alone when you're out there asking for money and asking people to write a check. I currently serve as president of the foundation board, which is the arm of the, it's a not-for-profit separate from the district. It raises grants, money for grants for teachers and for students. I think, and that's just in this community. I've also been a lunch lady. I mentioned that before. But I think it's important to be a good steward of your private citizenship. There was a woman outside the grocery store, and she was standing there when I went in. It was kind of cold, and she had on some shorts and a sweatshirt. And she was standing there when I came out, and I thought, she needs a ride. And so I went up to her, and I said, do you need a ride? And she had a developmentally disabled son with her. And she said, yes, and I've called for a cab, and they haven't come for 2 hours. And so I took her home, and she said, I said, did you ask anyone for a ride? And she said, yes, but I think they thought I'd kill them, so they didn't want to give me a ride. So I just give that example because I think it's important to be a good private person, a private citizen, and help people, not just in leadership roles, but as, you, as a steward of your own life and your own values and who you are as a person.
I think I'll remember the turn this time. As far as my community involvement, it's kind of been a lot of various different things. I've coached girls softball, girls basketball, boys basketball here and in North Carolina in the Park and Rec programs for the past 15 years. Was a lunch dad for 5 years at Willard School in South Elgin. I have been a substitute teacher for over 15 years, elementary, middle, high school, and a special needs class I took for 6 months, too. I'll work in midnights, which I'm not sure why I did that, but I did. Also, the past 9 years in South Elgin, the police department, I was the community relations crime prevention officer. And I worked with all aspects of the community as far as the schools. I also did National Night Out, did a lot with businesses, a lot of fundraising. I was the fundraising person for our department for Special Olympics. Did all the fundraising for that, Cop on Top, Tip a Cop. We go to the convention every year for training down in Bloomington. So I think the past 9 years in the police department as the crime prevention community relations really did give me a great aspect working with, again, the schools, PTAs, businesses, the community. I handled all the citizen complaints as far as for neighborhood problems, speeding. I also started the Neighborhood Watch program up again. We had about three of them thriving pretty good, one in Thornwood and two others in townhome complexes in town. So that gave me a lot of opportunity to deal with the citizens and listen to their complaints and help them out best I could. So.
I really used most of my community experiences for the team question, but one that I just thought of was I'm involved with a group in our community called Random Acts Matters. In that group, people are nominated for Random Acts of Kindness. I don't know if I know some of you have heard of it. So I'm one of the people who help carry out the acts when we get a request, so anybody can nominate. And when we get a request, the helpers go and either they're purchasing stuff or making something happen. So last year, at the start of last year, I nominated our middle schools for Random Act of Kindness. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but we ended up bringing a breakfast to the middle schools because of all of the changes that they were going through. So we had a team of volunteers come in and had food, and we just tried to do something nice to say we appreciate you, we recognize what you're going through, and we want you to know that we support you in moving forward. So that's just one more example. Thanks.
All right, I think in maybe some of the previous questions, I touched base on some of the things that I've been involved with. Going way back, I did do some Little League coaching, I have always felt that, you know, as a parent, I needed to be involved in my kids' lives. So, you know, I made it a point to be part of that, the coaching. I think as things evolved and the kids got older, I did get involved at the high school. I was involved with the, as I'd mentioned, the reorganization of the booster clubs, and currently serve as the booster president at North. We have accomplished, you know, quite a bit. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars that have been raised in reinvesting in the athletic programs at the school. Was involved for probably about 6 years in negotiations with the board, parents, everyone, to have the turf field installed at St. Charles North High School. We finally were able to come up with an agreement that the board was happy with. And I still appreciate that vote. That'll be one of my fond memories for a long time is when I heard the yeses and we knew it was going to be reality. Also have been involved with Kickathon. I'm assuming most people know what that is, but it's the fundraiser that the St. Charles North and East drill teams participate in. I've done, everything from photos to printing their banners and doing those kind of things. I have some unusual hobbies that have been a benefit to the schools. It's not my business, but I do a lot of that printing. Actually, the St. Charles North volleyball banner up on the wall was one that I created and provided to the teams. And do a lot of other things, you know, the team photos, things that I think are a benefit to the kids. They just love, you know, for their senior nights to see a big giant picture of themselves up on the wall as a senior. As I had mentioned before, also been involved with the PTO, in particular with post-prom, and organizing that event. And I still believe that in the years that I've been doing it, we have kept several thousand kids safe for that one evening, that a bad decision could be life-changing for them. So we've provided an activity for them to come and have a whole lot of fun. And to date, I think for the last 4 years, we've actually had more kids attending post-prom than attended prom. So it's an activity that the schools have really enjoyed. So I guess I'm the kind of person that is never going to stand on the sidelines and wonder who else will step up and help. I've always been there to offer whatever help I could to anyone in the schools. And that's it.
So I'm going to touch on this quickly because I'm a crier. I used to get invited to meetings specifically so I would cry. But I would just say, so here we go. St. Charles Storm was a coach, probably the most meaningful experience that I had. I knew it was coming. I couldn't say it without doing it. But anyway, it was an opportunity for me to reconnect with my kid after having been kind of away for a couple of years in terms of job transitions, and I moved ahead. We'll try to get through that now. I got started probably in community involvement with D303 on a referendum committee, and I'm trying to do the math, like 2005, does that sound like we had a referendum in about that time frame, I think. The community was very different at that point. We were in this huge growth mode and contemplating the notion of putting another middle school, elementary school combined up at Silver Glen. And, you know, I was down. I was like, let's go. We're a growing community. I'm supportive of the schools. I got involved and volunteered in a big way. I think in retrospect, probably the community demonstrated its wisdom. We really didn't need that additional building. But I was supportive of the board's direction at that point and wanted to see that through. So obviously I've talked about my board service.
In addition to the board service, after I was on the board, I co-chaired the Summit 303 opportunity, and I think that that was great because, again, it was really a vehicle to try to understand what the community was telling the board, and I think that those are good opportunities for the board to, you know, periodically conduct so that you get a sense of pulse of the community. And I think that, you know, coming out of that, that board used that information to, you know, help set policy and help enact a vision. So I was proud of that. In addition to that, you know, I've done pretty meaningful mission trips through my church, which has been kind of a couple life-changing experiences for me as well. So that's it.
I think that leaves our final question to Ms. Linkmer.
It's actually a two-parter. So, first part, what have you done to prepare yourself for the challenges of being a board member? Are you able to meet the time commitment, training requirements, and other responsibilities required for board membership? And Ms. Capps, we get to start with you.
I actually asked some people what they thought about the board, and I looked up the issues that you faced in the past and some of the financial restraints you faced from the state coming forward with less funds and some of the decisions you've had to make. I am able to meet the time commitments. I think that's first and foremost before I expressed my interest. And Ms. Ratchford was wonderful to say, you know, these are the upcoming retreat dates if you're appointed. So I think that I am able to meet the requirements, and just in preparing myself, I tried to talk to people within the community. Thank you.
For myself, I just did a little research.
That time, I did a little research as far as the board itself, looked at some of the past minutes and what kind of what's been going on in the board meetings, as well as the newsletters that we get. I always read. And kind of like to stay up even online. I do visit the board, or not the board, but the DO303 website quite a bit, looking at different things, being that I have three kids involved in two schools now, which will be three before too long as things go by fast. And time commitments, you know, I'm pretty much good to go. I'm free of being a policeman anymore, and I will substitute teach probably in a couple different districts. I've already signed up out with Mr. Atkins out in the Caneland School District to do some subbing out there. And then other than that, that's it, just Ubering kids around the games and practices and things like that. But other than that, I'll be fine with the meetings. There's no child care issues, and I'm around all the time. So I'd be really looking forward to it.
I think it's best to start with the easy question, too. Yes, I would be able to meet the time requirement for being on the school board. When I think about what I've done to prepare for the challenges, aside from everything else we've already discussed, something I haven't talked about, but I think everybody knows that, too. I ran for school board in the last election cycle, and for me, that was an interesting experience, and I guess what I learned from that was you have to put yourself out there, put yourself out there for judgment. You're seeing your words in print, living a public life as opposed to the private life you're used to living, and that was a really hard thing to get used to. I think having been through that, I'm better prepared, or maybe know more about what to expect. Also, along with attending the meetings for as long as I've been attending, yes, I think I have a good understanding of what the challenges are that the group faces, and then the campaign stuff was more on a personal level. I feel like running for public office isn't necessarily something that my personality is suited for, but it's my passion. So that's kind of where I'm at now. Thank you.
Well, done to prepare. In preparation, I think, as I've outlined before, I've been involved with a lot of volunteer groups at the school and have already started to look for potential replacement parents, knowing that the commitment of being a board member is not going to allow me to, you know, still be involved as a booster president. I would likely still want to stay involved at some level with the group. It's hard for me to give up those things that we've developed for so many years, but it's not like I'm dying or something. I'll be there to support them. So in preparation for it, I've had to do enough soul searching to realize that being a board member is a huge commitment, and all of these other things that I participate in are going to have to be cut back. The one, quite honestly, that I don't think I will give up is chairing the post-prom and providing that opportunity for our students. I just am not necessarily prepared that I have anyone in line that I think could take it over and manage it successfully. Time commitment, it is not an issue. My time as a business person locally, I've been able to, whether it's meeting during the day, that with the principal, the athletic directors, whatever. So the time commitment portion of it, I'm not concerned about. My only concern, and like I said, I've already taken steps in that direction, is to kind of push myself away from some of the other volunteer positions that I currently hold.
Probably most significantly, I started playing guitar last November and been taking lessons, and I moved my lessons from Monday nights to Tuesday nights in the hopes that I could attend board meetings. That's true, but anyway, and I really don't play. I'm somewhere between not playing and playing terribly, but anyway, in terms of previous, training, what have I done in preparation? I think that, being on the board and taking that very seriously was great training. I think that the IASB training that's offered, I consistently attended those classes, and I can't remember what the certification was when you go through that for 4 years in a row, but whatever certification that was, I achieved that and felt like, we had two different groups of people in my 4 years on the board, and we worked together well, and I think that was probably one of the best experiences in preparation for further board service. And I think, if you're going to toot your own horn, now's the time to do it. If you want somebody to kind of step into the role quickly, and having had that board experience, I do bring that to offer. Additionally, I've asked staff, talked to some board members about what's changed. Tried to be a quick study, and I would expect that would continue in terms of what I need to learn to get up to speed. And I guess the final thing is, with regard to time, I would say I know what the time commitment is, and I really kind of embrace it because, like I said, I think that the amount of time that you spend at the table is probably not nearly as much as the time you spend thinking about the issues that are coming to the table. And I welcome and embrace that. And would just echo Tom's comments. You have a difficult decision, but I don't see the downsides with a group of six that you got in front of you. So that's a good decision. And thanks for bringing me here this far.
Down to two. So clearly, the preparation of this, I have to be candid about it. I was at about 10,000 feet in the Rockies when this opportunity was presented to me. I won't name drop, but two prominent public officials here in St. Charles, who I'm fortunate enough to be close with, suggested that they're like, Tim, you would be great at this. I think you should consider it. And I clearly have the time. So the preparation, thankfully, the computer allowed me to go online, and I got to listen to the minutes. I thought it was fascinating. So this is new to me. I don't want to hide that fact. But I think that in the last 2 weeks of being back on the grid, I have a much better understanding and preparation of what this job involves. And I do think with my recent retirement, there's a huge void. And I'm used to working long, long hours, and that is not there anymore, which is part of the reason why I've committed to giving back to my community. And I clearly have the time and would welcome the opportunity.
Thank you. I think that was it, right?
I started it, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Wonderful. There is one more small question we asked you to be prepared to answer, is if you are, please let us know if you are available, or if you will be able to attend a potentially all-day board retreat previously scheduled for August 18th. Saturday, August 18th. Because it's something the board needs to does every year, and it's essential, and everyone needs to be there. So just a nod would do. A good?
I'll be there.
Mr. Montel?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. I know we gave you a warning on that one because very important. Well, I will then also reiterate our process. We're going to go into closed session now, talk for a little while, maybe an hour or so, maybe come up with a decision. If you don't hear anything today, we won't meet again and won't be discussing it until Tuesday. And on Tuesday, whether it's at that meeting or right after that closed session, or maybe just right at 5:30, if we have our decision, we will ask the applicant that's chosen to come in and be seated. It's not formal, but it does involve an oath, and you need to be seated. It is something that could be done, apparently, over the phone if need be, because we know that U46 just did it. I wouldn't have thought that was something we could do, but we can, because this is a lot of your time also. So I just want to thank you all for your thoughtful responses. I don't know about anybody else, but for me, it was very refreshing. And some things I heard, I think I really took it to heart, and it reminded me about why we're here and, you know, what we're doing, what's important. So I'm very happy I went through this process. I think we chose very well to have six of you here. It's going to be your quality individuals, and then we heard so many wonderful things today. It's going to be a very difficult decision, very difficult. And I just want you to let you all know how much we appreciate your interest and the extra mile you've gone now in preparing and being here this morning. So before is there a question?
So I want to know if I should be like Jim Carrey, so you're telling me I got a chance. So if you come up with a decision today,
yes.
Yes,
I believe that's what we'll do, but the board hasn't really discussed. We're taking this in steps. It's not something we've done very often. It's been a long time. And so we'll decide exactly what we're going to do. But if we do decide today, we'll let you know. But if you don't hear, then it means we're still working. Okay? You have a chance. So that is where we are. Board members, is there anything else anyone else would like to say? Okay. I think we'll be saying a lot.
We don't have to be here Tuesday at 5:30.
You don't have to be here at 5, because we could be done at 5:35. We could be done at 6:30. I don't know, board members. I mean, maybe should we just give people a? We haven't talked about it. It's.
Why don't you talk about
it? Yeah. I guess we could. You know what? Maybe we could just make a call today, regardless, and say the board is still thinking about it.
I was just going to suggest that. Okay. If it's possible, maybe after our deliberation, we could do a call either way.
Mm-hmm.
And just communicate whether we deliberated to conclusion or to continuation.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
That's a good idea. So now your phone is going to ring regardless, so you can relax. Now? No. No. No, we only have the seating of the board member, I think, down on for Tuesday.
Yes.
Yes. So we never had planned to do that today. Yeah. We will not. We will announce it to you guys first. Okay.
Does that make sense now?
Thank you. So
pleasure meeting.
May I have a motion to go into closed session for the purpose of the selection of a person to fill a public office is defined in this act, including a vacancy in a public office, when the public body is given power to appoint under law or ordinance, or the discipline, performance, or removal of the occupant of a public office, when the public body is given power to remove the occupant under law or ordinance.
So moved.
Ms. Weibel. Mr. McNally, would you take the roll, please?
Mr. Manning.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Faircree.
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Yes.
Mrs. Sewell.
Yes. Motion carries. We're going to go into closed session immediately unless we need another 2 minutes, but we're going right in.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Yes. The board is on session. It's 11:59. Mrs. Metro, will you take the roll call, please? Mrs. Weibel. Ms. Weibel.
Here.
Ms. Faircree.
Here.
Ms. Linkemer.
Here.
Mr. Manheim.
Here.
Mr. McNally.
Here.
Ms. Sewell.
Here.
May I have a motion?
Do I have a motion to appoint Mr. Scott Noling to the vacant school board position?
Yes. Thank you. And a second? Mrs. Linkemer seconding. Is there any conversation? Discussion. Is there any further discussion?
We're recording. Just want to note that we've been in deliberation for this for two and a half hours. We had interviewed six lovely and wonderful, talented candidates. It was a long deliberation because we had so many qualified candidates, and we're looking forward to the next 9-10 months with Mr. Noling.
Thank you. Okay.
It was a difficult deliberation, I guess. I said that, yes.
Yes. Okay. Would you take the roll, please? Mrs. Faircree.
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Sewell. Yes. The motion carries. Scott Noling is the new school board member on D303. I will make those calls early this afternoon. And on Tuesday, the board will reconvene for the oath of office at 5:30. Once we have a full board or a quorum, more than a quorum here, when all the board members can get here at 5:30. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Please take the vote. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Linkemer.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Watch it.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Faircree.
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell.
Yes.
Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Lori, thank you.